open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me in the Green and Gold studio is Sam Westrick. Sam, how are we doing?
Great. Temperatures are up. Vibes are up. Let's have a great weekend.
Yeah, and what a weekend it's going to be. Arguably one of the biggest weekends in North Dakota State history, certainly in, you know, what I would call home athletics history, or things you can actually go to. In Fargo, I'm sure, you know, people would point to the NCAA tournament against Kansas or against Oklahoma or any of the trips to Frisco, but this is here in Fargo, and it's a big, big deal. What else is a big, big deal? Arguably, the most famous alum of North Dakota State University, Carson Wentz, has been traded, and that's something that we're going to get to. In fact, we're going to dive right into the news at this moment. A little bit of house cleaning as far as the baseball team is considered. Our buddy Todd Brown, they have had their season opener postponed. This, of course, right after softball had two flights canceled and was unable to get where they were going in Louisiana. So travel, weather, COVID, it all maintains its status as an issue. It is certainly still an issue. Some pretty big Summit League news came out this week in the sense that Noah Friedel, who really, I think, the last half of last season, certainly, even though it was a short stay in the Summit League tournament, but they did not have Doug Wilson in the Summit League tournament, and he was the guy that kept them going in that game. He was certainly the guy that kept them in that game against the Bison in Fargo that North Dakota State ultimately won, breaking a little bit of a losing streak to the Jacks. And really, I think, has been their better or best player all year long. Noah Friedel has declared himself out for the season, battling some depression, and wants to get his mental health kind of in order. So our thoughts go out to Noah. Heck of a competitor. Didn't always rub everyone the right way, you know. But I think a lot of South Dakota State very good players have kind of been heels in that way. For Bison fans, so we're thinking about Noah and making sure, the isolation, the time away from people, this is not a normal college experience. So it's easy to understand, you know, the way that Noah probably felt about some things and just understanding that he needs to get the help that he requires, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. So as we mentioned, folks, we've got basketball both nights, and that's a doubleheader. And I'm going to shoot you straight. You're probably not likely to see an NDSU women's victory. Could happen. But what you are going to see is the top 25 team in the country. South Dakota State is ranked 23rd in one poll, 25th in another. USD and SDSU, Aaron Johnson and Don Plitzewhite have some nuts mid-major basketball going on right now. Very, very impressive. And that shows just how good. I mean, Summit League men's basketball is fun. Summit League women's basketball is good, crazy good. And I think you've seen a ridiculous turnaround from Jory Collins' crew, but at the same time, you're going to see the measuring stick now.
Yeah, I think it was last year both teams were ranked. Both South Dakota and South Dakota State girls teams were ranked. So it's a lot like the Missouri Valley with football, how the conference kind of drives through Fargo. The conference with women's basketball in the Summit goes through Vermilion and Brookings. Those two teams are in and out year to year, always very, very good.
Absolutely. As we mentioned, phenomenal turnaround from Jory Collins. In 5 years, the previous coaching staff won 19 conference games. Jory is not done with his second year. They have 16 Summit League victories. So we're kind of going to get, I think, a barometer of the rebuild. Where are they? And then hopefully this is a young group. In the next couple of years, can they get over the top? Can they be mentioned in the same conversations as South Dakota and South Dakota State? Because we've mentioned this a number of times. On both the men's and women's hoops side, there is no reason with the facilities and the city that Fargo is that you should not be able to recruit against Vermilion and Brookings.
No, exactly. The Shack is one of, if not the nicest, basketball facilities in mid-major, the Summit and even mid-major sports. It's beautiful in and out.
And I know fans have some issues with the seating and the how far away the stands are from the floor. And I think certainly if folks would have had a little bit more input or they had kind of known that was going to happen, I don't think these are permanent and unfixable problems either. But I got to tell you, that doesn't affect the athlete a lot. What affects the athlete is the phenomenal academic center that's now there, the excellent weight facility that's now there for a mid-major program, the nutrition facility that's now there for a mid-major program, the athletic training facility that's now there for a mid-major program, and the NODAC Insurance Performance Center as far as a practice facility, the ability to practice in the Shack or the ability to use the PC. Also, the locker rooms are awesome. Again, these are things that like fans who complain about the Shack don't get to see. And it's fine. I think some of those complaints are valid. But for the athlete experience, it's still top-notch. It's absolutely top-notch.
So top-tier. And it's tough, too, when you go from an old kind of almost pavilion that was the Bison right. Sports Arena, where the old everything, you almost sat on top of each other. But, yeah, a lot of those problems are fixable, but it's nothing to the athlete because the athlete has so many other things that are just not the court.
Right. All right, so the big news of today, we wanted to cover it right away. That's why Sam's here in the Green and Gold studio, is Carson Wentz getting dealt to the Eagles. Dealt from the Eagles to the Colts. He has been sent to Indianapolis, and Indianapolis has sent back a third-round pick in this year's draft and a conditional second-round pick in next year's draft, which not conditional that it might not convey. It will convey. But if Carson plays 75% of the games, common sense would tell you that that's 12 games. So if Carson starts and plays in 12 games for the Colts, that second-round pick becomes a one. And a second and a first is a pretty significant haul for a guy that a lot of folks had really viewed as a negative. I mean, because he is maybe a starting, he didn't play like one last year, but he's maybe an above-average starting caliber quarterback. He's also getting paid like one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and that contract, of course, comes with him. You don't just acquire Carson Wentz and then get to sign him to whatever you deal you think he's worth. That money comes with him. So, some reports that the Colts were bidding against themselves. Ultimately, though, I think this is going to work out well for both sides, in my opinion. The Colts have a very win-now roster. I think, they're going to have to fix that left tackle situation with Anthony Costanzo retiring, but at the same time, the Eagles and Carson just were going to have to break up. It just, there's too much hurt, if you will. And Frank Reich and him get along great. But now, over the course of the next couple of years, that salary cap money is going to disappear off of having traded Carson. Yeah, there's going to be some significant dead money in year one, maybe even a little bit in year two. But after that's done, they're going to have an extra three and an extra two, maybe even an extra one. They're probably going to be pretty bad. Sorry, Eagles fans, you're likely going to be bad. And that's really the recipe for a rebuild, is to be bad and to have high picks and have other people's picks and be able to kind of rebuild. I really think you saw that this year, like with Miami. They were better than I think anybody thought because they had stunk for so long, picked high for so long, and had other people's picks.
And the other thing is you have to pick the right guy, too. That's what's kind of tough, too. But I think a lot of Bison fans that are NFC North fans are very, very glad that he is not a Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
Because that was what was being reported for a little bit, was that they were maybe interested. It turns out today it was reported that they really didn't
make an offer. Yeah. No, so, and I mean, that's where quarterbacks go to die. And I'm sorry, Ben. Really, that's the only Bears fan that I guess I talk to on a normal basis. So I'm only apologizing to you, Ben LeCompte. But it's just right now they don't have a coach that's going to succeed with a quarterback. I don't think they have an offense. I think Allen Robinson is on his way out of town. And so you're going to end up with an okay-ish offensive line, really not very good weapons and David Montgomery, I get, you know, so
right.
It's not going to be a fun time, I don't think, to be the Bears quarterback, and nothing that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have shown me is that they can develop a quarterback or, in Carson's, you know, case, reclaim what was a great player. And if anybody can reclaim what was a great player, it's Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator when Carson was having his MVP season in 2017. Ultimately, Frank and Doug win the championship, but with Nick Foles as the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. But it's just, for me, it's a huge deal. I mean, an excellent offensive line. Like I said, Costanzo retired. They need to fix that, but Quentin Nelson might be the best interior offensive lineman in football. I like Braden Smith at right tackle. I like Lewinsky. I like plenty of what they've got going on the O-line. And no, left tackles don't grow on trees, but they at least understand now that that's probably the place. In my opinion, I think free agency and the draft, they had two priorities, left tackle and quarterback, because the rest of the roster is pretty good. You check off one of those boxes now. Maybe you get a Dylan Raidens in round one. Maybe you get, you know, I don't think Penne will be there, but the Slater kid from Northwestern, or, you know, even
Jalen Mayfield from Michigan. Yeah. Any of those guys.
Leatherwood, I think, might fit better on the right side. But there are a number of, you know, Darisaw from Virginia Tech is another good one. There are a number of good left tackle prospects. And then I think you'd end up with a great roster. Michael Pittman Jr. is a really fun up-and-coming wide receiver. The tight end, Ali Cox, played really well last year. Naheem Hines is a fun, like, kind of how Carson used Boston Scott.
Yeah, Jonathan, scat back.
Jonathan Taylor will be able to take. I mean, they were good, and Phillip Rivers was fine, but Carson gives you the ability to kind of move around. That Colts offensive line only gave up 25 sacks, and Carson took 60, or the Eagles gave up 62 sacks. Well, part of that, Carson holding onto the ball too long, trying to extend plays? Yeah, probably. But there's still a massive difference in what that Eagles line ended up being and what the Colts line was. Granted, a lot of people hate Howie, blame everything on Howie Roseman. The reality is, he was supposed to have Andre Diller at left tackle, blows out his knee before the year. They were supposed to have Brandon Brooks at guard, one of the best players flat out in football. Not available. Lane Johnson hurt all year. I think even Jason Kelsey was in and out of the lineup. They had a very good offensive line plan on paper. No team can lose three or four of their top offensive line options and just roll out a very good NFL offensive line. I think they also planned, obviously, on having Alshon Jeffery and DeSean Jackson. Didn't get any of that. Jalen Reagor barely played. Like, there was a plan in Philly last year that just got punched right in the mouth. And I'm not saying that Doug is right or Carson's right or Howie's right, but it just didn't work out. This Indy situation, especially with that defense on the other side of the ball taking pressure off of Carson, this is a much better situation.
It's almost like an NDSU situation with him. I mean, he's got the ability to throw when they need to, but most of the time they want a power run, and they've got a defense that can hold other teams to low numbers.
Yeah,
I mean, they're gonna have Marlon Mack back next year too. He got hurt early on, so
yep. Looking Jonathan at Taylor, Marlon Mack, Naheem Hines,
maybe even Jordan Wilkins. I doubt they carry four running backs,
right? But they'll be good.
They're gonna be good, and like you said, Quentin Nelson right now is on track to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, that guy is good. So I there's a lot of similarities with kind of the called like his NDSU days and this team. Even it sounds a little crazy to say that, but and how fun would it be if Rado ends up at Indianapolis?
Yeah,
I mean, that would just fun. That'd be huge.
All right, we're gonna take a little break here, little pause for the cause. Rise Fitness, our friends Chase Morlock, former NDSU running back, fullback, tight end, wide receiver, do it all, down the field guy, and Aaron Lean, former Minnesota State University Moorhead basketball standout, have started their own shop, little gym in Moorhead, training both high school and college age athletes, as well as doing some adult fitness. I'm looking to get back into that now that they are open through Minnesota guidelines. I believe right now you are still working out with a mask on, which is not the most fun thing in the world, but it is, I think, still better with the camaraderie and with the hands-on training than just, you know, doing what they've been doing with the Elevate app, which, by the way, they did a phenomenal job. The at-home workouts that members of the Rise Training Fitness family were able to take advantage of during COVID was a, like an extra above and beyond step that was great. But getting into the gym, getting into the physical space, working with the trainers there, that's what it's all about. And that's what has really been fun over at Rise. Folks, we really would suggest that you give them a call, give them a try. They've been friends of the podcast for a long time. Obviously, Chase has been a huge part of North Dakota State's program. Check them out. Like I said, if you got kids in sports, they'll do all that stuff. And if you're an adult just looking to take care of yourself, maybe live a little bit longer, check out Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead. Okay, we are going to kick it now to a little interview that we were able to do this afternoon with Bison, we'll call him a point guard today, Sam Griesel. Here with Bison junior point guard, wing, do it all, Sam Griesel. Sam, how are we doing?
Doing well, just excited to finally play again. Feels like it's been a while.
Right, but how was the time off? I mean, coach said in his press conference this week that like this came at the perfect time for you guys. Did you feel like that as a group?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could kind of tell in some of our games, especially on our Saturday games, we were just a little bit mentally drained. So we were able to get away from the court for a few days, which was really nice, and just kind of rejuvenate ourselves, get our bodies right, minds right, and we're all really excited for the next few weeks.
I think there's some science to that or just dumb luck? You guys are 6-0 on Friday and 3-3 on Saturday. What do you attribute that to anything?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a lack of like focus or anything. It's more, I mean, I'll tell you one thing, it sucks because it feels like the next week we went 0-2, winning Friday and losing Saturday. But, yeah, honestly, I guess it's just kind of dumb luck.
What have you seen from South Dakota State that looks maybe a little bit different than when you guys lost by 2 to them at the Pentagon?
Yeah, I think obviously in the first game, Doug didn't play. And they're really emphasizing getting the ball down low to Dentlinger and Wilson. So that's not necessarily something we saw a bunch of in the first game because they were just – they couldn't miss from 3, it seemed like. So they're definitely kind of playing inside out more, which is something that we've been focusing on this week.
Do you guys have a chance to kind of sit back and watch, obviously, some wild results in the Summit League last weekend during your off week? Did you have a chance to catch any of those games?
Yeah, for sure. I know I personally watched both the SDSU and ORU games, and then I think one of the USD and UND games. I mean, it just kind of shows you that anything can happen in this league, and you got to bring it every night.
How close are you guys to as healthy as you've been this year?
Speaking for myself and the team, I think this is the healthiest we've been, just getting people back, getting people back into the rotation and practicing every day. And yeah, like I said, I mean, we feel great.
Obviously one game at a time, but these are the last two shots you're going to get to play in front of the home fans. How important is it for you guys to go out and get victories this weekend?
Yeah, it's really crazy to think about just because it feels like we've had like one or two games at home. But obviously these are really big games for not only our season and stuff, but also for our fans. You know, we want to go out on the right note. And then Saturday on senior night, obviously you never want to go home with a bad taste in your mouth. So,
I mean, from an eligibility perspective, from how this school played that many games, this school played that many games, whatever, this is almost a free year. But I feel like it still means a lot to you guys. You only did get to play, 8 games at home. You didn't get some of the cool non-conference matchups that were on your slate. But what has this year meant to you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a little bit weird, obviously. But I think a big thing that we've talked about is just perspective. Like, at the end of the day, we get to wake up and play basketball every day. And that's a big thing that we've been, blessed to do. And, going forward, we just got to focus and realize that that's what we're here to do. And we're all competitors, and obviously it's going to mean something when there's two teams on the floor and one team wins.
All right, thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, we want to thank NDSU Assistant Athletic Director Wes Offerman for making Sam available, and certainly thanks Sam for his time. You can tell that bye week was necessary, but that these guys are ready to play some basketball. Sam, let's talk about the bye week. I was a little bit busy on vacation in the desert. But you watched some Summit League basketball. So walk us through what happened while maybe Bison fans were sleeping a little bit on the Summit League.
So we'll just start off night one. Oral Roberts goes, plays South Dakota State, and they put up 103 points in regulation. And Max Asmus, who I can't think of anybody. He almost, it sounds crazy, he almost reminds me a little bit of Ben Woodside. He doesn't attack the same way, but the way he is so quick and crisp with everything and just his ability to shoot. Asmus had 42 against South Dakota State.
Yeah.
So that's huge. Right off the bat, a team that NDSU split with, he had, I think he and O'Banner combined for 46 night one and then 48 night two. I mean, that's probably one of the best tandems in the Summit League. Night two, Noah Friedel going through, like we had talked about, some of the mental health issues, did not play. They end up, South Dakota State ends up winning. I think Baylor Shireman finished in the upper 20s. Alex Arians played well. Dentlinger played well. Doug Wilson's been back. So they're starting to kind of integrate. And I think more than anything, they were just trying to figure out a way to play without Noah in the lineup, because that is tough. I mean, that's a guy that you can, late in the shot clock, Noah throw it up, and it's more than likely going to go in.
Yep.
So they come back, win night two, they split. And then the big one, UND is now 3-0 against USD this season. USD, a team that has beaten South Dakota State twice, lost one. Amude and Plitzewite played well, but the guards played phenomenally for UND. And it was, I mean, you'd think usually in that kind of game, Rabracha might have to have 25, you know, 28 for them to win. They put up 85 both nights, and the guards really played well. Iheanacho played well. They just, UND, it's conference play. I mean, that can happen at any time. So it's huge for NDSU as well, because now they are tied for first with USD and SDSU in terms of winning percentage.
Yeah, I think, you know, at this point, Asmus has to be your player of the year. I think we talked about Rocky kind of early in the year, especially after that performance in the losing effort against UND. And I think Rocky, I would probably pick him as the first team All-Summit League 5, depending on where you put O'Banner. He was really impressive as well. But Asmus, man, you know, he played 80 minutes. They don't take him off the floor. They can't. And he is really, really important to everything that Oral Roberts is able to get. Right now, besides O'Banner and Asmus, they struggle to get buckets. And those two really carry the load on offense. They've got some scrappers, some offensive rebounders, some deflectors, some defenders, stuff like that. But that's a high-scoring team, and it's two guys doing the scoring. He's a really, really special player. But what that has, you know, really put NDSU in a position to do is win the league, or at least be a top two seed. And all of that, man, starts this weekend. And we're going to talk right now to the aforementioned Rocky Cruiser about this weekend and kind of everything going on with him.
All right, Rocky, how was the time off?
Relaxing, amazing, fantastic, just a bunch of adjectives to describe it.
Sure, yeah, Coach mentioned that I think, you know, kind of no matter where the bye comes, every time you come back, it's like, oh, that came at the perfect time. I mean, do you feel like you guys really got healthy and are ready for this last stretch of four games?
I think so, completely. You know, we were pretty banged up for a couple of weeks there with Malik out and Bowden out. Jerry sitting out a game against UMKC. You know, that bye came at a great time. Bowden's looking a lot more healthy. Malik's getting more comfortable being back in the lineup. And all those nicks, bumps, and bruises are slowly going away because of the time we've had off.
I want to ask you about those kind of thin numbers and just get your thought, because you guys are 6-0 on Fridays and 3-3 on Saturdays. Is that dumb luck, or is there a little bit of a science to that?
It's a tough question, because, you know, it's the first time going through this, going through this schedule. It's tough. You know, obviously on Friday nights, we spend the entire week going through what our opponent's doing, having a game plan for the opponents. And then on Saturday, it's tough. And then if you lose that game, you spend an entire week, you know, not sulking, but disappointed in your performance on Saturday instead of, you know, celebrating that Friday night win. It's hard to describe if it could be tired legs, if it could be a a bad mindset after a W on Friday night, but something's got to change.
Yeah, I'd almost rather lose on on Friday and win the game on Saturday and feel good going into the week.
I mean, I'd rather win them both, but that's just
right,
me.
Right. You guys have played these guys before, but I feel like both clubs are very different teams. I mean, how much from the Dakota Showcase do you even watch or care about? I mean, what do you take from that game?
We're watching film on it, obviously, this week because we've already seen them this year, like you said. And it's just crazy to me how you look at the film and you can see how each individual player has grown. You know, they're making rookie young mistakes.
Yeah, Coach said he can watch you guys now without wanting to die.
Yeah, right. We're going on there just watching as a team, and you're like, wow, did I really do that? Yeah. Like, why would I do that now? You can't even picture yourself doing it now. And then you go look at the Jackrabbits, and obviously they've gotten better over the season as well. And they're integrating Douglas Wilson back in the lineup and everything. Just the amount of growth from the beginning of the season is astounding.
The league, you guys are now, I believe, in a tie for first again. Wild weekend, certainly, in the league. That UND team keeps proving that they can steal one from anybody. Did you have a chance to kind of sit back and be a spectator and watch some hoops this weekend?
I did, yeah, with our little R&R time. Watched the UND game on Saturday, I think it was. Just kind of kicked back and relaxed. Watched the two Western Illinois-Denver games, not even as an opponent, not scouting out anything, just relaxing, trying to watch some summer league basketball, and it was really nice.
You guys now have two games at home. They will be, unfortunately, just your seventh and eighth home game, and then you're done. How important is it to get these last two, just kind of for the fact that you have been able to play in front of fans and to kind of end this thing the right way?
Yeah, we want to leave obviously it's a rivalry weekend. We want to win for ourselves and to beat South Dakota State, but we also want to leave, a good taste in Bison Nation's mouth. You know what I mean? All the fans that come out to support us, we don't want to let them down either. We want to go out there and prove we're one of the best teams in the summer league.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here.
Oh, goodness.
Coach kind of had some really nice things to say about Tyler and his contributions, and obviously, Saturday would be senior day. But didn't have so much to say about you. You didn't take a red shirt year. Where are your thoughts as far as where this thing might go?
We got to wait until the season's over with. Obviously, I love it here. This is my home. But we're going to wait and see what happens at the end of the season. But I do love it here.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Again, we want to thank the NDSU Athletic Department for making Rocky available, and obviously thank Rocky for his time. Unable to quite get him to admit that he's coming back next year, but I don't know. All signs have pointed to that all year. Again, I felt like we kind of caught Coach at the press conference thanking Tyler Witts for everything that he's done for the program. I feel like if Rocky Cruiser was leaving the program, Dave might have had something to say about one of the best five men he's ever coached. I think you're going to see number 34 specifically. Honestly, I think because he did not take a red shirt, I think you're going to see him back in the green and gold next year. But that is a discussion to have after hopefully a Summit League tournament championship and maybe a little run in the NC2As. All right. Obviously, we need to talk about Noah Friedel being out. He was their rock in Fargo. He's been their rock. He was the most, I don't know if you want to call it annoying, but he was the most difficult part of that weekend in Sioux Falls when the Bison were making their comeback. The guy that always stabbed them with like a 26-footer was Noah Friedel.
It's been that way with South Dakota State guys.
They've always had that
forever.
Guy.
Nate Walters, Mike Dom, doesn't matter. And that's almost, I hate to say it like this, but it almost makes it more fun just because you want to not like him. But he's so good that you have to respect how good of a player he is. And all of these kids, by the way, are very, very nice kids. Like Mike Dom, Paul Miller, when he was training for the NBA, he and Dom were together when they're and played together, they roomed together. And Paul was like, yeah, no, he's actually a pretty cool guy. We hang out pretty often. He's a nice guy.
Right.
So they're not horrible people. It's just you hate seeing them just absolutely bury the
20,
team you like,
yeah.
You know, late in the clock. So I get why fans maybe don't like him. But all the best to Noah. It's tough. And I hope he can be back as soon as possible because he is fun to watch.
Doug Wilson, that's an interesting one because I think another guy that Bison fans don't like for maybe a reason that isn't his fault. I think both Tyson and Vinny were annoyed, you know, that he was named Player of the Year. NDSU won the league, won the tournament. Not necessarily that always means that you have the top player because, it might happen this year, and I don't think NDSU has the top player. But a guy that won Player of the League last year and then didn't play. I mean, didn't play in those last two series for SDSU, was not able to get right for the Summit League tournament. SDSU goes out in the first round for the second straight year. But he's an athletic force. He's a weird matchup for Rocky. And with Friedel out, this now becomes a true inside-out team. They're not going to slash much, I don't think. I don't know if so they have the ball handlers for that kind of nonsense. I think it's going to be a lot of pounding it into Dentlinger and Doug Wilson. Maybe his favorite thing is to just get to the rim. I mean, from everything I've seen from Doug Wilson, you can sag off of him 6 feet if you want. You just keep him away from the rim. I don't know as though he can shoot a 20-footer, much less a three. But they're going to have to keep those guys contained, Dentlinger and Wilson, because the kickouts to Arians and Shireman, that's not where you want to be if you're the Bison, is giving up open threes to those guys. And controlling Wilson, I think, is point number one for them.
Yeah, and it'll be way different. I don't know that the pace will be that. Hendo wants to play fast. He wants to get post entries quick in the shot clock, try to play inside out. Doug, I'm trying to think right now who NDSU matches up on him, because if you're Rocky, I think you have to take Dentlinger, such a big kid. He's 6'8", like 240, and just is going to try and wear Rocky out, just trying to grab rebounds and everything. So it could be Tyree. It could be, I mean, I think Grant's going to have to be big off the bench to try and help with some of those defensive matchups. But you get to start bringing guys off the bench too with SDSU, whether it be David Wingett, who's 6'7" and can stroke it, lefty. Matt Mims, good guard. Alex Arians is another kid that'll start that's a good point guard. So it'll be interesting just to see how the pace goes, because like we had talked about, there was 189 points night one of ORU.
Yeah.
And then the next night, South Dakota State puts up 90, and I think ORU is somewhere in the 70s. So they want to play fast. Dave does not want to, so it'll be interesting. I mean, even at the Pentagon, that was 140-plus points. It was 73, 71, I think.
Yeah, and I think, too, what you'll notice is they don't guard super well. South Dakota State is not a phenomenal team defensively. And I think Nelson, you know, does actually have a chance to kind of give them fits as far as his length. I don't know as though anybody on SDSU's roster is really a great fit for them. And the other thing was, they really struggled with Malik and Sam. I mean, those guys were able to get kind of into their spots. I don't think that their wings and their guards, Arians, I mean, they don't really have a point guard. They're kind of like NDSU in that way. Their ball handler, I think, is 6'5 or 6, the guy that brings it up the floor. And he's not 6'5 or 6 with a great handle. You know, they just kind of run an offense sort of the same way that NDSU runs an offense, and whoever initiates it. But they struggle to stay in front of guys. They struggle to stay in front of Sam. They struggle to keep Malik Carton-Hayes off of the spots that he likes to get to on the floor. But NDSU's length is an interesting matchup, because while South Dakota State has, I think, plenty of length at the wing, they're not super tall down low. Wilson, I think, is 6'7". Dentlinger, if you mentioned, is 6'8". Grant and Rocky are going to be significantly longer than any of the guys that are down low for SDSU. It's an interesting matchup problem that they can potentially, kind of throw at those guys. Maybe it's a Tyler Witts for 4 or 6 minutes game. I think he did play against, he had 2 minutes against SDSU down in Sioux Falls. But again, as we mentioned with both of those two players, just complete throw it away. I mean, that game against Sioux Falls seems like it was 30 years ago. They're just completely different teams.
Completely. And those were the early days of Sam trying to just kind of almost figure out the point guard spot. I mean, there was still stuff that you could tell he was just trying to get used to. And seriously, that game changed at the end of that first half with that run by Malik. I don't know as though NDSU finishes as close without that run. I think he went on a 9-0 run by himself to close out the half. So that was huge, huge. And, you know, you had talked about Rocky with kind of having a size advantage and everything. They could bring a Luke Apple off the bench too, because he kind of almost gave Rocky fits just board-wise. He tired Rocky out constantly, Rocky trying to have him box this kid out, because he is a very big kid. Yeah, 11 minutes last time, and he shot the ball 6 times in 11 minutes. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. But I remember him being a very, very physical kid. Charlie Easley is another kid that'll start inside in place of Friedel. It'll be interesting. I wonder if they're South Dakota State, if they are going to try and match Doug up with Grant when Grant comes off the bench, just to try and have a little athleticism. It'll be interesting, and it'll be very interesting to see if Grant can take maybe even a Dentlinger out on the wing and try and get him into foul trouble early, something like that. But this is going to be the two most fun home games of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
Bar none.
For sure. And I think the important thing for me to accomplish for them on night one is to guard the three. I don't think that Dentlinger and Wilson are going to be able to, just with the way NDSU's long and the way that they play team defense, if they can keep South Dakota State from knocking in, a ton of threes, that's how they're going to stay in the game, I think. The ability to get a hand in Shireman's face and Winget's face and Arian's face on those kickouts, that's going to be very important. And you saw, you know, in that game against North Dakota State the first time around, Dentlinger ended up with 8. Their points came from Friedel, Arians, and Shireman scoring from the outside. Friedel not there. Insert Doug Wilson, sure. But at the same time, this is not a team that's going to give up a ton of post points. Yes, Kevin O'Banner scored a lot. But all of that stuff was on face-up 18-footers, top-of-the-key threes off of pick-and-pop. It's not like he was just taking Rocky down to the woodshed and beating on him.
Right, and that was something that was funny as well, as Rocky had brought it up. O'Banner hits a crossover and steps back and hits a three, and Rocky turns around kind of like, when did that come into your arsenal? And he said that O'Banner looked at his bench and was looking at the same thing. He didn't even know he had that in his bag. So it's interesting, but yeah, I mean, it'll be... I just think you got to start out hot, because last time against SDSU at the Pentagon, I think they started out 11-2 up on NDSU. It was quick, and that seems to be the case whenever they play in SDSU. A couple of years ago, I mean, the only time that was really, really tight and was close was when Paul had 38 and had like 20 in the first half and just couldn't miss. I think when you play SDSU, you got to punch them in the mouth right away and just see how they respond, especially without, like we've said a million times, without Noah. It'll be interesting.
Yep, and that's, you know, that was the recipe the last 2 years. Both of the last 2 years were big NDSU leads that, obviously, David Jenkins Jr. bangs in the three at the end of the game, and then last year, NDSU kind of gacks it up and ends up winning in overtime, but a game that never should have been in overtime. We'll see how the punch in the mouth goes. I think it's very, very important to win on night one. They're 6-0, as we mentioned, 6-0 on Friday, 3-3 on Saturday. I think they might even still, though, have the Saturday advantage. This was not a deep team. South Dakota State liked to play their starters. Now their best player's out. They're even thinner. I think NDSU will still have an advantage. It'd be interested to see how much no-tech there is. I would use some no-tech. I would try and get your studs playing 32 or 33 minutes as opposed to 36, 37 minutes, because you know South Dakota State studs have to play 38 or 39. Have the fresher legs. You're coming off your bye. Be better the last 8 minutes a game than they are, and that's winning time. And that's what I think. I don't know. I like a split, and I think potentially a sweep, but I really do think that North Dakota State is ready to play up with this team, and SDSU is reeling a little bit, having given a game back in each of its last two series.
And you're right. You have to win night one. Yeah. That sets the tone for this series. Like you said, they are 6-0 and 3-3 on Saturday, but you set the tone right away, and if they can get a no-tech off the bench or even, you know, Lord, hopefully Skunberg's healthy enough to get out there, maybe you could interchange Wits and Biggs to get Rocky some fresh legs. It's going to be a track meet. South Dakota State wants to run, but if you're running two nights back-to-back with an eight-man rotation versus NDSU's 9 or 10 even maybe, have fresh legs for Saturday, because it's tough to get back out there after playing 38, 40 minutes and then running the entire time and then doing it again. So it'll be very, very interesting, but be in a very, very exciting series.
All right, folks, we want to thank Sam for making his way out to the studio. We want to thank Rocky and the other Sam for their appearances on today's show. Just going to let you folks know, Nate and I are going to break down night one of the South Dakota State, North Dakota State basketball series this weekend on Saturday morning. On that same Saturday morning, Trevor Gebhardt is going to make his Bison Report radio return, and he and I are going to break down the season opener against Youngstown State. This is going to be a two-pod weekend, folks. That's why we didn't talk about Saturday at all. Thank you all for listening. Go Bison.